inspire me. When Dan and I talked a couple days ago, he mentioned there's a lot of people that might not know me here, so I thought I'd give sort of a synopsis of who I am, so you get an idea of what I've been up to and what God can do through somebody who's unqualified to do something in life. And you'll get a better understanding of that as I go through this. Oh, there we are. I'm from a small Saskatchewan town, and we would probably consider Three Hills a big city. Small little town, and you know, I left the church in my teens. That was back in the 60s. What a tumultuous time it was for the church and for people at the time. The evangelical church didn't know how to handle the Beatles and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and so a whole generation of us kids at the time left the church. And so if you want to fast forward to the 1980s, I was living my dream life. I was in the middle of building about $20 million worth of apartments, shopping centers, and mini warehouses, and living in Scottsdale, Arizona, a.k.a. paradise. This is what I wanted in life, and I was able to accomplish that. Then something happened. I became a Christian, truly became a follower of Christ, and things started to change. In the back of my mind, I thought, you know, God will bless me even more now that I'm a Christian. But God had other plans, and I don't know if any of you remember back in the mid-80s, there was a real estate meltdown both in Canada and the U.S., and I was caught up in that as well as thousands of other developers. And so for the next 5 or 6 years, I saw my whole little empire just dissipate. And over that period, just things, you know, just lost everything. But you know, my life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it was one of those things where I learned how to trust God, especially when you have nothing. It's one thing to accept Christ when you're at the top of the world, and that was unusual in itself. But when you actually have nothing, that's when you really surrender to God, and that's what I had to do. And I just trusted God. I never once asked him why I was losing all of this money and all of these buildings. I knew he was doing it to teach me something, lifelong lessons, and that's actually what happened. So I started my real estate career with my best friend, and after a couple of years, this thing was taken off. I knew the trajectory of my life again was on like this. However, something else I started at the same time as I started my second real estate career, I started a Bible study class at a prison in Phoenix. And for me, that was just an amazing, amazing thing to go through. And so here I am at a fork in the road, because I can either go in one direction and build buildings, or I can go in one direction and build lives. And so I needed some time to think, so I did take some time off. And at that time, in 1994, my parents were going off to Ukraine to visit where my father was born and visit our relatives. And I said, you know, I will come along. I'm a history nut. I want to see what the Soviet Union was like, this great empire. And so I went with them on that trip. And I was hoping that God was going to speak to me. And God spoke to me. On the way back, I realized that I had to change. I had to do something. I realized that I had won the lottery to be born and raised in Canada. Didn't do anything to deserve it. Didn't do anything to earn it. I won the lottery. And so I had to do something. I had to give back. And yet, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I walked away from my real estate career, much to the chagrin of my partner. And even for the last 25, 30 years, he's asked me every year to come back and make some real money. But I went back to Ukraine in 1995, the next year, and I started doing some research. Because again, I did not have a clue what I was doing. And I've got a book up here I need to write, and it probably will be called Unqualified, because that's the way I was. But, you know, God had everything planned. I started to meet all these young pastors in Ukraine, dedicated, hardworking, competent, unbelievable young leaders. And I thought, man, this is what we need to invest in. We need to invest in the local pastors who, they know their country. They know the language. I didn't. I can't speak Ukrainian. And So as I met these young characters, God gave me one question to ask them, and it was this: how can we in the West practically and effectively help you do two things? The reason why I use the words practical and effective, because back then in the 1990s, mission organizations were wasting all kinds of money in Eastern Europe. And I'm a business guy. I don't want to waste a dollar, let alone hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I asked these guys, how can we practically and effectively help you do two things? One, evangelize your people. Number two, look after widows and orphans. In other words, Matthew 25. How they answered that question became our compass. And it's been our compass for the last 30 years. So I started Heart in Calgary. I'm from the Saskatoon area. Didn't know anybody in Calgary. And I started a mission organization in a country I don't know anybody, nor can I speak the language. Pretty goofy. But fast forward a number of years, and we're impacting tens of thousands of people every year. This is a God story. It's not a me story at all. It's a God story. Here's a sampling of what we've been doing in the past. Ukraine, largest country in Europe compared to other European countries. It's also the poorest country in all of Europe. Average monthly income would be $300 to $400 a month. Food prices are similar to here in Canada. It's such a difficult country, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. We won't get into that today, but what is our goal? Our goal is to change the country of Ukraine for Christ. And we have a strategy, and that strategy is to empower and equip the local church. How do we do this? This is right off our website, but we do a couple of things. First of all, we partner. We find the best and brightest pastors, churches, ministries, partner with them. We help build them. What we do is we give them resources and strategies to help grow their churches. And then we see the transformation take place, where our vision is to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. These people are transforming their own communities. When we say give them resources, what does that mean? I'm just showing, there's 16 I'll just show you, but these are kind of the resources we can give a church. It can be vehicles, it can be funds to buy supplies for refugees, it can be summer camp programs, church construction, all kinds of things. The other one is supporting the national pastors, a child sponsor program. So we give the churches, we can give them all kinds of resources to grow their church. They don't have the money to do it, but we can give them the resources to do that. And then we also have programs that they can utilize to build their churches. And I'm going to show you some examples of this, but these are all the different programs. We've created these. We have, one of the things that we always believed in, if you want to change a country, you start with the children. And so we make sure we have all kinds of programs for children and youth. I'm just going to highlight just a couple of them. But our child sponsor program has just been a fantastic one. In the summertime, we send typically 10,000 plus kids to summer camps. And you might say, how can you do that during a war? In 22, we thought for sure everyone is going to cancel their camps. And yet we were inundated with requests from churches that they wanted to do camps. Not stationary camps, but they were going to move to day camps. But if you had a stationary camp, the potential of being bombed is there, and so you want to keep the kids safe. But now, in last year, 24, and this year in 25, the majority of the camps are going back to stationary camps. These are the ones that they want. And so we've been sending lots of kids for lots of years to these camps, and what a ministry. We also are doing a lot in our education scholarship. These are kids who cannot afford to go to university, and we're giving them an opportunity. I'm going to show you just one remarkable story that came across my desk just a couple of months ago, and I have to share this because it's just an amazing example of how Heart's partnership with the local church helped these four kids break free from the from the cycle of poverty and addiction that plagued their parents. Family situation is this: lived in poverty, parents were both alcoholics, bad alcoholics. The youngest two children have alcohol fetal syndrome, so they have developmental problems. No running water, indoor plumbing, never enough food to eat. But a local church partnered with Heart, introduced these kids to Heart's programs. And this is the result. The first one, Sergey, is the eldest. He became a Christian through summer camps, supported by Heart. He now preaches and is a youth leader at a church. Volodymyr, the second boy there, went through an education scholarship fund, so he was able to get family. They all have families now, except Ivanka, the third one. Everybody's involved in the church. Ivanka became a Christian because of summer camps and also the education scholarship fund as well, and she leads a Sunday school program and mentors teenage girls. And Snezhana, the fourth one, was actually in our child sponsor program. And that brought her to the Lord as well as Christian summer camps. And she's married and she works in a church as well. It's so interesting that you see how through Heart programs that we're working with the local churches, how this multiplies. One person goes to a camp, becomes a believer, goes back to their church as an adult, and now is mentoring all these other kids. So the whole process of evangelizing this country is through a multiplication process. And all we're doing is giving these churches some of the tools that they need to do this. Here's another young man who got a Heart scholarship and is giving back to his community. Cute story.
My name is Andriy Okhrimchuk and I'm 25 years old. I live in Lutsk and I'm married to a wonderful wife and we have a little girl as well. For several years, I was a scholarship holder of the Heart's Education Fund, for which I'm very grateful. My life story is such that I wouldn't have been able to get a good education. My parents got divorced when I was 5. My mother's sick, she has mental disorders. Unfortunately, my brother has also inherited this disease. I've had no one to help me, so I've had to help my family myself. At the age of 16, when I was still at college, I met Jesus Christ and gave my heart to Him. A year later, I entered the Lviv Theological Seminary because I wanted to have a spiritual education as well. I felt that God was calling me to the ministry. Today, I work as a website developer, and I have the opportunity to develop in this field and earn a good salary. In addition, I serve in a worship band at the Fimium Church in Lutsk. My wife and I glorify the Lord in this worship band together. I also teach guitar lessons for teenagers and lead home groups. Through these lessons, I have the opportunity to communicate with more children, become their mentor and guide them to God, because many of them also come from crisis families. The church's home groups meet in our apartment every Friday. Because I have a good education, I have a job and can provide for my family, rent an apartment, and help my mother and brother who live nearby. I can also help other people who have financial difficulties and support financially the ministry and the church, which does a lot of work with children and other poor people. For God blesses us not only to have something for ourselves, the more we give, the more we receive. And I can clearly see this principle working in my life. The more I focus on people, on serving, on helping, the more God blesses me in my work. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. I'm very grateful to the Heart Mission. I think that people who help through the mission know this verse from the Bible, and by doing good, they multiply it.
In 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine didn't invade Russia. Russia invaded Ukraine. We all probably seen pictures like these. One of the kids who had a scholarship program through us was a medical doctor who was there at the time, and we were getting reports from him. That happened after a blowing up of a dam. That's a cemetery that my wife and I were at last August when we were out there. Needless to say, this brutal and barbaric war has taken tens of thousands of lives. It's uprooted millions of people, turned millions of people into refugees, and it's breathtaking in its ruthlessness and cruelty. We don't know half the stuff that's going on. It's not a pretty picture. But when you try to just imagine the size and the scope of this, when you have 12 to 14 million people that immediately had to leave the southern part of the country, and in some cases it was in 5 minutes, in some cases one day, some cases it could have been a couple of days' notice. But when you think of 12 to 14 million people have to exit and go to other places of Ukraine or Europe or Canada and the U.S., think about this. It's exactly the same number of people that live in British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. Can you imagine 4 Western provinces, everyone has left and moved into Ontario and the western or the eastern part of the country. It's shattered the lives of millions of people. And we did a little thing this morning with the kids. And like, what would you take in a backpack? Your dad comes into your room and says, you got 5 minutes, we have to go. What are you going to put in a backpack? And you're never going to come back to this home. It's just unbelievable what the war has done. Ulyan and I were in Ukraine last August and September. And it's interesting when you first hear the air raid sirens. It's a little surreal. Well, if I hadn't woken up my wife, she can sleep through an earthquake, so I had to wake her up so she could hear them. But it's surreal, because you know, when you stop and think about it, you think, well, this is like in a movie. It's just a siren. But then all of a sudden you realize cognitively that there are missiles coming to where you are, and they will land, and they will kill people. And you realize that this is just horrible. And this is what people have to live in that country that live there. They go through this, not every day. In some cities, yes. In Kharkiv, probably. Kiev, probably. But we were in the western part of the country. And the kids have to go through this. And 90% of people in Ukraine live in apartments. And so when the sirens go, you have to get everybody into the basement of that apartment or an apartment down the road. And so you think about the kids having to get up every night and go into these bomb shelters, and then people have to go to work the next day, or people have to go to school the next day. And honestly, just the mental health issues because of this war are going to be with the people of Ukraine for a generation. And we're doing work in that area too. We have trauma healing conferences now for caseworkers, for pastors, for all kinds of stuff. That's one of some of the projects we're doing as well. So what else is HEART doing? What is HEART doing? First of all, we have a network of church partners around the country. This is not all of them. It's just to show you. We have partners all over the country. And essentially what we're doing is we're supporting this network with all things related to helping refugees, transporting food, water, supplies, to the frontline areas as well, evacuating people. Just everything. We're doing everything. Go to the website. You get a great idea of everything that we're doing out there. One of our church partners, actually, is interesting. They have a food factory. They put together, and it's pre-cooked food. And we were there. Liana and I were there at their factory last August, and we could see them all working, all volunteers, putting together these food packages. So it's pre-cooked food. These are used for civilians. It's used for refugees. And now it's being sent to the front lines. You know how they're taking these packages to the frontline soldiers? By drone. Great part about these packages is the soldiers are telling us, because we speak to some of these soldiers on the front lines or close to them. They put these underneath their body armor, and it warms them up. And so whenever they get a break, they're able to eat, and it's already warmed up. That's what they're doing. So because we are such good supporters of this particular church and this food factory, they put our name, our logo, on each of these packages. We didn't even ask them to do that. Now, one of the problems in the southern part of Ukraine, where a lot of the fighting is still going on, is that the Russians would come through and they blew all of these homes, destroyed all of these homes for people. And everybody, that's their piece of the earth. That's the only thing that they own in life, is title to their own property and home. They all want to rebuild their homes. But how can they do it? Their homes are destroyed. They're living in basement shelters, in the ground, underground. It's just an awful way to live. But we have a solution we want to show you. See what you think of this.
The ruthless and deadly bombing of Ukrainian homes by Russian forces has been devastating. These are not strategic military targets. Rather, their peaceful civilian neighborhoods where families nurture their children, attend school, engage in sports, go to church, and celebrate weddings. Homes lie in ruins. Once vibrant streets resonating with the sound of daily life are now eerily quiet, devoid of the laughter of children playing and the hum of daily activities.
I heard deafening explosions at 3 a.m. All my neighbors and I quickly ran out onto the street. Everybody was crying. Nobody knew what to do. We were in shock.
They were shooting at us from tanks, then from rocket launchers, flamethrower systems. There you can see traces of flamethrower strikes that burned everything.
For 3 days in a row, we watched columns of tanks destroy everything. My home was destroyed. It was hit with shells at least 4 times. The first shell hit the children's room. No windows, no ceilings, no roofs. Nothing was left. The whole village was badly damaged. There is not a single surviving house here. They spare no shells. This house behind me was destroyed in the last days of the occupation. This is what is left of my household. I had everything I needed, and now I have nothing, only ruins and grief.
Ukrainian people are motivated to rebuild their homes, but they lack shelter to live in while working on their houses. So HEART has initiated a project to assist people in rebuilding their lives. The project is in the form of mobile homes, designed to be a temporary residence during this reconstruction period.
indeed there is God, and He will help us with the huge need we have at the moment. We need help with housing.
Hart and a local church are about to bless three families with temporary housing.
Many people from the government came here promising to help us, but they never did.
This is your home. From the Heart Mission, God bless you. Keep the keys. This is your home.
Like to express our deepest gratitude to Hart and everyone who makes these modular homes.
Congratulations. These are the keys to your home. Come in, have a look. Do you like it? Thank you. I really like it. I like it so much. It's already a comfort for me. When a house is rebuilt, the mobile home will be moved to another family in need of shelter, and the reconstruction process begins again. This project is giving communities a chance to rebuild their lives, one home at a time. Hart's vision for the mobile home project is not just about reconstructing physical buildings, but it's about rebuilding lives and communities. And it's about local Christians demonstrating God's love and bringing comfort and healing to those who are hurting because of the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, this, it's an interesting project. I think my wife would know exactly how many we purchased already, but is it at least 50, do you think? You know, and we've recycled now three. The whole idea is this has to be sustainable because they're costly. And we have a brand new design, by the way. This thing was almost, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, months old. But we have a new design. We have some local businessmen donating big windows for the homes. We have some people now donating the appliances, donating the heating systems, etc. These are local Ukrainian people that are doing this. But so we've recycled about three of these already, and that's the whole idea. Secondly, we think when the war is over, and if we have at least 50, who knows how many we'll eventually end up with. But every one of these, can you imagine how good these would be at summer camps as a cabin? So we're going to take these, repurpose them in summer camp programs all around the country. So they're going to be used down the road as well. So what have we learned? What have we learned about God during this war? Well, one thing is we're using that we've realized about God or learned about Him is that He's using the war to build His church. He really is. It's His church is being built, and He's extending His kingdom. You see, our support for the local churches, you're helping us support the local churches there. It gives them the opportunity to be Christ's hands and feet in these communities where people have no hope. And so it's an opportunity for them to reach hundreds of thousands of people, and it's working. Here's a letter from one pastor, and we have so many that we work with. But here's just one guy going toward the southern part of the country, very close to the war zones. But he says he's thanking us for the support because we're able to influence the lives of thousands of Ukrainians. He said there are constant and fierce battles. Human blood is being shed, and this multiplies the pain, hopelessness, and despair of many people. That's why we are on the road almost every day to visit and encourage people. This is what the local churches are doing. Therefore, this work is not only about sharing God's word. Yes, this is the main thing and the first thing, but we also bring food, medicine, clothing, household cleaning products, just all kinds of things. And we see how this ministry brings tears to people's eyes. We see their hearts soften and how they cling to the hope that we bring in Christ. The result of all of these pastors, evangelical pastors, fanning out around the country to support people in need has been phenomenal. I'm going to show you a little video to kind of prove this. In this particular town, the Orthodox priest took off when the Russian invasion started. The Catholic priest took off. Who was left was a Baptist pastor. And again, then when the Russians were pushed back by the Ukrainian army, and all the people are now coming to this Baptist church, and the Orthodox priest is coming and complaining, and the Catholic priest is coming there and complaining. On a Sunday, there's no one in their churches. But the people realized who was with them during the darkest period. Here's an example of the resiliency of the church. Pretty amazing. You know, when the Russians come through, they are particularly brutal with evangelical pastors and churches. They've destroyed probably about 400, I think, by now. And because they say that the Baptists especially are tied in with the Baptists in the U.S., therefore they're tied into the CIA. So they're particularly brutal. And people living under, you know, in these Russian-occupied areas, Christians are being persecuted mercilessly. One lady was thrown in jail for 5 years because she was praying in Ukrainian. They're forced to give up their own language because this really is a genocide that is going on. And it's just interesting how the church is standing firm with each other. And my next little topic here was something about what did we learn about God during the war? And he continues to write miracle stories for us to marvel at. One of these pastors was arrested. He was working during the occupation, traveling around, him and his wife, to help local people with food, water, clothing, meds, whatever. And he's driving by these vans that have already just been shot up by the soldiers. and people are still in them. There's smoke and there's dead bodies in them, and they're on the way to help people. That's the courage. The courage of these kind of pastors. This particular pastor was eventually arrested, and he was taken to one of these torture places. And it's interesting because they put a thing on his head and handcuffs took him there. And he said to me, we met him this last summer, and he said, Lloyd, if they would have looked at my phone, I had all the coordinates of where the Russians were, and I was sending it to all, like, the Ukrainian military. He said, that alone, they would have killed me. They'd have just shot me. But they took him, and it was just so unusual. And it's one of those things where it was a miracle that they asked him some questions, and all he said is, I'm just helping out the poor in my community. That's it. Somehow, for whatever reason, they let him go. They even drove him back to his home and apologized for the inconvenience. You know, the people in the church were saying, this is just like Apostle Peter escaping from prison. Another quick story. Our director in Ukraine, interesting character, but he was taking some food and clothing to the frontline troops as well as the frontline churches. And the reason why he was going to this one military camp is that his son-in-law was there. His daughter's married to a soldier. And so he came to this forested area, and the military camp was somewhere in this forest. And he saw two roads to get there. One kind of was closer to the Russian side, and there could be snipers. So he thought, well, maybe I should take this one. But there was a tree branch across the road. Anyway, he moved the tree branch, drove about 15 minutes, and he ended up at this military camp. Well, as soon as he got there, the people from the camp, the soldiers came out and said, you just drove down this road to here just now? And he said, yes. And they said, we mined that entire road yesterday. I didn't ask him that. I will. Yeah, Leanne and I have a meeting with him on Tuesday. I'll ask him that. That's a good question. Okay, let me end by suggesting three things that Manor Gospel can do in response to this war. Number one, it's the most important thing is just prayer. That's, you know what? By the way, sorry, I forgot about Pastor Andre. Here's another guy. Again, it's the courage of these guys. Andre is such a good, he's a writer, and we've included some of his stuff in our blogs. But this was the second van that was blown up that he's been in the last 3 months. In fact, we helped raise money for this van, and it's a thing. These drone operators know what they're doing. They know that this is not a military vehicle. What's on the road there? It's bread and water they were bringing in for people. But the last time he was blown up, he was injured somewhat. He was off for just a couple of weeks, and then he went right back to the front lines, and that's where he spends his time, in incredible character. But the best thing we can do, the most important thing, is prayer, and that's what every one of our pastors would ask us to do, just pray. Now, go to our website. We got all kinds of ideas on prayer, who you can pray for. If you went into our blogs, we send out blogs almost every 2 weeks. If you're not on our list, if you'd like to be, we tend to think that the people in our heart community, and we have about 3,000 or 4,000 people in Canada and the U.S., we like to think that our community is one of the more knowledgeable groups anywhere in North America about what is going on in Ukraine. There's too much disinformation all over the place. We try to disseminate what is actually going on, tell the stories, take the pictures. We're trying to make sure that our community knows what is objectively going on. And yes, we are supporting Ukraine. There is an evil in this war, and it's not Ukraine. And so if you want to get caught up with our blogs, go to our website. They're all there. But if you want to be on the list, every couple of weeks we'll send something out, and you can read it or not, or unsubscribe anytime you want as well. So just keep praying, even praying through a blog. You read a blog and we have stories and pictures and all kinds of stuff. You could pray through that. There's so many things that you can be doing. The other one is supporting the national churches. I'm emphasizing that here today for a reason. I'll tell you just in a minute. But to be able to support the pastors who are going into to the frontline areas, packaging things for refugees, going to the front lines and getting water and clothes and food to people who are living. There's so many older people that they don't want to move. They'd rather just die in their home than have to leave and go where? And so there's all kinds of ministries helping those kind of people. So we need to support the churches there. And the third thing is, we're having an event at Center Street Church on June the 13th. We used to have auctions, and I know many of you were out to our auctions. They were such a blast. We'd have 600-700 people at Center Street Church. We would feed 600-700 people in about half an hour, and then we would go into the main sanctuary for the auction, the program, and everything else. We're not doing that. This is going to be a coffee and dessert. We're trying to find out. This is the first event we've done since COVID. And so we're trying to find out if people still want to come out and get together as a heart community. But you're all invited. It's just go to the website. You can register right from there. We're raising money for two areas. Number one is summer camps. They are so incredibly important. And the other one is to raise money for the Ukraine Crisis Fund, which helps out all the pastors doing all the work that they're doing around Ukraine. And we have some great friends of ours in Houston, Texas, that are actually putting up money to be a match. And it's amazing what they're doing. But we'd like to raise a lot of money to send, you know, more kids to the camp than we have in the last 4 or 5 years. So if you'd like to attend, it's going to be a fun evening. And as you know, 9 o'clock, everything's finished. It's not going to be a late night. So if you're able to come out, just register, come on out. We'd love to see you there. If you can't, on the website, it shows you how you can donate to be a part of the match, because it's a really large match, and it's an opportunity for us to be able to, again, send one child to camp, who that child becomes a Christian, grows up, and now becomes part of a church and is now influencing way more children at that church or in that community. So it's a multiplication effect. And you've been a part of that. You've been helping us do this for the last little over 20 years. In fact, I was telling somebody, I have one of your, what are they called, your directory with pictures in it from 2006. That's the last time I got one of those. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you here and all the supporters. Although you've never set foot in Ukraine, some of you have, but most of you have never stepped foot in Ukraine, but your fingerprints are all over the work that we do in Ukraine. Every food package delivered to a refugee family, every senior receiving medicines and food, every child who's had a chance to go to a summer camp, your fingerprints are all over that. So we really appreciate that. Thanks for your generosity and sharing our vision, you know, to reach the world for Christ through heart. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for your partnership with us. Thank you. God bless.
Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your work in the land of Ukraine. We thank you for Lloyd and the Heart Ministry group that have extended themselves so much. So many of them have put their lives on the line to be able to honor and serve you and to spread your good news. So we just ask a blessing upon this ministry, upon the Ukrainian people. And we would ask that there would be a soon end to this war. And we commit this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, brother. was sitting there and watching the videos, and I was trying to get a picture of our town of Three Hills. All of a sudden, every single home being demolished. What would we be doing in that? What would we be doing?